Spirit Radio Podcasts.
As I said, that was We Are Messengers, and this is very significant because Darren Mulligan, a successful Christian contemporary artist from that band, We Are Messengers, living in Nashville in Tennessee, and originally from the little village of Ballinode in County Monaghan. And he talked earlier to Steve Johnson, our very own Steve Johnson, about how the lockdown is affecting him, his family and his band. And he shares some great advice for young people on the opportunities they have to make a difference at this unique time in their lives.
So I'm Darren Mulligan. I'm the lead singer in a band called We Are Messengers, and we're living out here in Nashville, Tennessee. And yeah, so we're all at under a stay-at-home kind of guideline, and it's crazy because the world is spinning around us, and we hear of, you know, the economy crashing and unemployment going through the roof, and people are so afraid for their health and their lives. But we have this really wonderful peace in God, you know, like we're doing what we're told to do, washing our hands, taking care to stay at home, all of those things. But we have no fear, we're not panicking, we're not anxious. Like, honestly, when you know that you belong to God, you realize that He holds you. And so, yeah, I just find it a really sweet time to be at home with my family, and I believe all this will pass and pass soon.
Yeah. So you're at home with your wife and four kids, is that right, Darren?
Four now, yeah. Yeah, we had another one there about a year and a half ago. So it's mayhem. It's bonkers at the moment.
I'm sure the kids are delighted to see more of you.
They are. They might be delighted to see less of me soon, you know. I think we've reached the cabin fever stage at this point too, where we're all enjoying each other, but we're all irritated by each other a little bit too, so it's kind of messy.
Do any of them have classes or anything like that that they've got to do?
So my wife started homeschooling them a wee bit, you know, so she's taking work from the school and then some other work, and she's really enjoying that, actually. It's harder, I think, for me, because I'm used to being on the road, you know, out touring. And to find myself just at home all day, every day feels, you know, kind of unnatural. I kind of feel a bit useless. So, but I guess it's an opportunity to actually remember what really matters. The world isn't about me. It doesn't revolve around me or We Are Messengers. You know, it revolves around God, and family should be first. And so it's really putting that into the center of my mind. We spend a lot of time, especially when you're doing what I do and you're playing, you know, a couple of hundred shows a year, and you're singing about God and you're writing about God and you're talking about God, and really you're spending no time with God. You're just running through the motions, and that's just empty, vain religion. That's the kind of religion that Jesus warned us to avoid. Don't be like the Pharisees who pray so people will hear them. We shouldn't be writing songs so people will sing them. We should be writing songs because we just don't know what else to do, because we love God so much. And so I think God's stripping away a lot of the career. That's one of my kids crying, you can hear. Stripping away a lot of that career focus and a lot of that commercialism, and reminding us that He is enough and we should be satisfied with Him.
I imagine that you can sort of have a feeling at times where you're touring a lot that you're sort of in danger of running on empty, you know, that you've you've used up all the grace, and maybe this is a time this is a time to refill a bit.
Absolutely. A lot of the time when you go as hard as we do, you know, you find yourself at the end of a tour just completely exhausted emotionally, physically, and more often than not spiritually, because you really are pouring out so much of yourself night after night. I find that, though, when you're really in relationship with God, when you're reading, when you're praying, when you're being intimate with God through Jesus, that you don't get as tired, that you have energy for the hard days. And so I find that even being at home, when I don't have to work as much now, I'm a lot more exhausted, because I can't find the time in the day to sit and read and just listen, because there's a million and one things happening at home. And so I realize that I'm privileged to be an artist who gets to travel as much as I do and has that time. But I need to stop making excuses as to why I can't do it when we're staying at home.
How is all of this affecting your plans? I'm sure your plans are just for the whole year completely changed.
Yeah. You know, we were out on tour with Toby Mac, doing an arena tour in the US. And so 10 of the dates of that got canceled. We were in an arena all set up. There was 10,000 people coming. and we had to pull the plug just before the show started. So that was cancelled. We had to cancel all of our headline American dates in the spring, cancelled early summer. And so we're at a place now that if we don't get back in August, that's really going to hurt, you know, what we're doing. And it's strange because, you know, when I talk to folks at home, you know, it's a whole different ball game out here. Like, I have any amount of people on salary that we take care of them and their families, and there's a whole industry around just this one band. And so it doesn't just affect me, it affects families, husbands and wives and their kids. And so this thing is really hitting us hard, hitting everybody in the music industry hard over here. So we're praying that it passes. Because, and it's not just the effect it has on me directly. I'm more worried about the people that rely on me.
Yeah.
And we're very fortunate in that we're still able to pay all those guys and teams salaries. We're going to keep doing that. That's out of our own pockets, because we believe in these people, you know, and it's not their fault. And that's a tricky thing to do. So, but that's not an unlimited resource. Yeah. So we need this thing to pass by August. So be praying, please be praying for us, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Darren. Maybe back to listeners in Ireland and young people listening, any encouragement to them about the opportunity they have while having a bit more time on their hands at home about being creative?
Yeah, I think you just got to stop making excuses. You know, we have to stop making excuses and looking at social media and mindlessly binge watching Netflix. I think you have a real opportunity to do a couple of things, and I have. And one of those is develop your relationship with God. You know, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of God. So get stuck into the Bible, eat that thing. It'll nourish you. But secondly, it's an opportunity to demonstrate to the world that we actually are who we purport to be. So if you say you're a young person, you say, I'm a Christian. How does the world know you're a Christian? The only way they will know you is by how you love each other. And so now is an opportunity to look out for people who are hurting. And you can actually use social media and technology for that. So think about the amount of people that you know as a young person who struggle with loneliness or maybe depression or anxiety or self-harming or suicidal ideation. Think about those people. Reach out to them today via text or phone. Let them know you love them, that they're on your mind, that you're praying for them, that they're not on their own. You see, you can make a real difference, because this thing is leading people who are already struggling with mental health further into a very dark place. And right now, if you're a young person listening to this, if you say you love Jesus, you sure as well better be loving the people in your life. And you can still do that. Don't make excuses why you can't. It's possible.
That's really interesting. And you're reminding me as well that the thing of, you know, writing music and stuff like that, it just doesn't happen. It's it's enjoyable, but it's work.
It's work, surely, and it's really hard work. And, you know, even to get our new album, the Power album that just came out a couple of months ago, you know, that's hundreds of days and thousands of hours of writing, of demoing, of tracking, of recording. And so it doesn't happen overnight. But I would tell you this, that if you start now and you take the opportunity to use your time to hone your skills and perfect your craft, once this thing's over, you're going to come out a new animal. And opportunity has a way of finding people who have work ethic. So there's another thing you can do. You can develop your work ethic right now so that you're prepared for what happens when this is done.
So one new skill I'm learning.
I'm learning how to... Oh, actually, two things. Well, actually, because I'm surrounded here, so I have my interface. I'm learning how to produce my own music and to record and track things, because I have a team of guys that do that for me, but I realized I need to do that myself for a little while. So I've started doing that, which has been really cool. And secondly, I'm learning to really respect how hard my wife works and what she does in this home to keep it running.
Next question. One thing I'm finding hard.
Oh, mate, I am finding it hard, honestly, to be at home all day, every day. I just think as a father, it feels really unnatural. And I know that sounds really old school or conservative or something, but I really think that dads are supposed to be about, you know, working, hustling, and then coming home and, you know, being an incredible dad, an incredible husband, and all of those things were supposed to be that. But I don't think God designed us to sit at home all day, every day. This thing is hard work, mate. And that's why I'm looking at my wife and I'm going, she is a beast of a woman that she's able to handle this house, because I'm ready to go bonkers. I need to get out.
Okay, so one life lesson I'm learning from this experience.
Yeah, I'm learning that all the things I have, or the things I've bought, or the things I want to get, you know, goods and cars or houses, or all these things, none of them really matter at the end of the day. And I'm learning that our only security and our only confidence is really found in God. You know, we say we trust Jesus and then we put our trust in everything else. You know, we trust you, Jesus, and then we find all of our value in what we do. But that's not the way it should be. We should say, I trust you, Jesus, and I will find my value in who you say I am. And I will not find my value in what other people tell me I am or what I can get, but purely in who you say I am. So I'm learning to trust Jesus that he is enough for me and my life, no matter the circumstance, which explains why we feel calm in the middle of all of this, because we do trust him at the end of the day. Everything's been stripped back and we just have him now. And he's enough. He really is enough.
Yeah, and I think as well that this is the way he said it would be.
He did. And we like to ignore that. We like to pretend that God set our lives up so we could have success. No, God said, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome. And so we're promised trouble, we're promised hardship. But what we're promised, which supersedes all of that, is that God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you always, even until the end of the age. And so that's where our trust is, in a God who never changes, who never turns his back on us, who never stops loving us. And I think this is the opportunity to reset our lives and focus again on him and loving each other well.
I'll give you a quote, Corrie ten Boom. You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. It's good, isn't it?
Well, do you know, did you guys... We put a song out called Maybe It's Okay about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. So that song just turned out to be a huge song over here in America and Australia and all over. But that song is based around the principle that you'll never know what it's like to be well unless you know what it's like to be broken. You never know what it's like to be clean unless you knew what it was like to be dirty. And so what I'm saying is that this is an opportunity to take a really terrible situation and to allow God to do something really beautiful through it. And so we're never going to know we need him until we have him. And now he is all we have. And guess what? Now everybody goes, oh, I need you. And so in Ireland and in Northern Ireland, for years, people have been turning their back on faith, I guess, on the faith that we had for the last couple of thousand years. But people are realizing that they hadn't put their trust in Jesus, they had put their trust in religion. And religion always lets you down, no matter whether that's Catholicism or Protestantism. If it's just doing good things and just following the rules, it's going to let you down, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is not about being good, it's about being in love. And so this is an opportunity to remember that we are loved by the King and we can love him back.
My eldest daughter, out of the blue just a couple of days ago, said, I love that song. That's my favorite song in the Spirit Radio playlist. And it was Love Won't Let You Go.
Oh, come on. That's
awesome. She knew nothing about you or whatever. Had no kind of skin in the game. Didn't know you're from Ireland or anything. She said, that's my favorite song in the playlist.
It's so funny. Like, I often think about Ireland. We love home. We get home a couple of times a year. It's amazing. My dad, he's listening to Spirit FM in Monaghan, you know. And people, I think, in Ireland have no idea what we're doing over here, you know. Like, and it cracks me up. And I love it too, because I come home and no one could care less about me in Ireland. And I think that's amazing. So I'm glad to be completely anonymous. And I'm glad that the songs are still speaking, because it's never about me or we are messengers. It always was about Jesus. And it has to remain that. And so the fact that your daughter loves that song reminds me that she loves what God is speaking to her more than what a person is speaking to her. So you got a good one on your hands there.
Yeah, absolutely. I have one last little question for you. From your Facebook, I saw day 8 of the day 10 football challenge. I really liked it, actually. 10 days, 10 football photos, 10 nominations and 0 explanations. And you were roped into that. Do you miss playing football?
Oh, I miss it, Tara. I'm slipping into it. Monaghan broke. I really do miss it. Playing with my brothers was one of just the highlights of living at home, you know. And so not having that like friendship or fellowship and just that connection is brutal. Yeah, I really do. I miss those simple things. I miss playing football with the lads. And I miss playing in our local community and being a part of that. But, you know, God asks you to go to places where you're going to have to leave behind the things you love. And we've left so many things behind that we loved in Ireland. You know, our family and friends and church and all of those things. But better to be in the will of God doing what he asked you to do. And sometimes that works out great and sometimes it's pretty shocking bad. But being in America has been the best 5 years of my life. And it's been the worst 5 years of my life all at the same time. And that sounds a lot more like the gospel than your life's going to be awesome, because that's not the way this thing is. You weren't promised a great life. You're promised a king who would forgive you of your sins and who would always walk with you, who would never turn his back on you. And that's the God we love. And so we'll leave football behind for now. But I do play when I go home. You know, we play a bit of seven-a-side. So I'll be back soon.
Yeah, Darren Mulligan there, the full lockdown interview with Steve Johnson. I don't know about you, but I found that absolutely fascinating. And it's really, like, maybe it's particularly fascinating to me because I spent a good bit of time out in Nashville in the middle of that, you know, the Christian, contemporary Christian music scene. And for a guy like him who has been out there 5 years solidly, to be still able to go, it's all about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about my career. It's about, you know, giving it for all for him. Really reminds me of that famous quote by Ignatius. Not Ignatius, actually. It was Francis Xavier, the other Jesuit. He was telling his students, you know, give up your tiny ambitions. You know, give up those tiny ambitions and come and follow Jesus. And he really seems to have a real hold of that, Darren Mulligan. He really does. We're going to play out with that song that Steve mentioned. This is Love Won't Let You Go, and the powerful voice of today's special guest, Darren Mulligan of We Are Messengers.
Yeah, everybody hurts sometimes, I know that's what they say. But right now it seems this loneliness won't go away. Can anybody feel this heartache? Is anyone around?
Thanks for listening to our Spirit Radio podcast. Don't miss out. Subscribe today. Find out how at spiritradio.ie.